Today's FanLUN Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's title fight with 101 odds on either fighter landing a punch during the fight. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration. But not for me, it always seems to be for someone else. Why other people always seem to just be on vacation? What do I get from it? I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Overtime is here on your radio. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Folgers, and Alex Comas in the studios with you guys. The White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, that is Fan Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Live here. Some good basketball today. Obviously, there was some decent basketball last night, but a very, very good game on right now, just getting started in the second half, a top 10 matchup going on right now. And then there's also another top 10 matchup in the Big Ten that will be taking place at 7 p.m. And then you also, to round out the night, do technically have, I mean, it is, but it's not a great game, but a top 25 matchup in the Big Ten to end at 9 p.m. with Purdue and Wisconsin, number 23 versus number 25. So, I mean, technically, top 25 matchup, but the very bottom of the barrel of the top 25. Before we get to any of that, obviously, we're going to talk about those basketball games. Basketball Iron Bowl is tonight as well. It's going to be an interesting game there. Before we get to any of that, though, fellas, how are we doing?
I am doing all right. Doing pretty good. It's a nice day out. Listened to some tunes on the way over here. Felt good. Feels good outside today, too. Good weather. A little warm, not too warm. It's light breeze. Not many clouds in the sky. It's a good day. It's a great day to be alive. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
How many clouds in the sky would make it a bad day? So there's not too many clouds in the sky. I mean,
many.
Many clouds?
Many clouds.
Do you have a base number? Like 7 clouds in the sky?
I'm thinking
you start
like,
getting concerned?
Like 12.
12 cards.
12 is, yeah, it's where it gets a little dicey once you get to 10. 12, for sure, bad day. 15, trouble's brewing.
It's raining.
Folky, how many clouds did you see today?
3.
Nice.
I saw 3 clouds today.
Nice. So was it a good day?
Yeah.
By the formula.
Doing the little for 2 chart.
Yep, right there. Check it. Over, down.
Carry the 1.
And yep, good day.
Great day.
Oh. Great day. Well, great day. Wait, hold on. It is only 3 clouds. That's a great day.
Now, if we're being honest here, and if we're getting scientific into the nitty-gritty, analytically, if we're getting about it.
Yep.
Is there, with the chart, is there a different correlation for the different types of clouds? Say you have a cirrus cloud versus
right.
cumulonimbus.
The cirrus clouds are allowed.
What are some other clouds?
Cirrus clouds are allowed. Cumulonimbus, you got to watch out for those. When they get a little big, they'll start raining on you.
Yeah, you got the stratus.
Right. Stratus clouds, they're fluffies, right?
Nimbostratus.
They start smearing a little bit.
Cumulus.
Cumulus are the
fluffy ones, the nice
the
light ones.
Ball.
Cirrus are the nice wavy ones.
Right, they look like they got smeared across the sky.
Stratus is basically fog.
Yep.
Good cloud talk, boys.
How do you feel about clouds, Alex?
Big all I knew was cumulus, but I wasn't sure if that was the rain cloud or
right.
The average cloud you would draw. If you're drawing a cloud 9 times out of 10, you're drawing a cumulus
yes.
cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember my clouds. The last time I remember the
we should do a
cloud lesson was like third or fourth grade.
We should do a cloud draft.
No.
There's some different.
I think that is the quickest way for someone to go, okay, what else is on?
I'll take a hard pass.
Yeah. Nimbostratus.
Everyone would take a hard pass.
Cirrostratus, cirrocumulus, altocumulus, and stratocumulus, plus vape and marijuana.
Right.
Cigarettes.
Clouds.
All different types of clouds.
You got to blow fat clouds.
You ease that in really well.
I mean, I
was just thrown off for a little bit, and I was like, oh, okay, clouds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, cumulonimbus, they'll get you. Those are the big ones. Storms. You see a cumulonimbus, you go the other way. That's a rough character. You stay away from them.
Not storm chasers, though.
Storm chasers go to it, because those people are an extra kind of crazy.
Baylor's up by 5 in a top 10 matchup right now. I was going to see how long we could go on clouds.
Taking on West Virginia,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. sir.
I think West Virginia can actually win this ball game.
It's been a close ball game.
Baylor's been on a little bit of a, you know, they've been shown to be not as good as people thought they were.
Human. 18 Human. They're 18-1, only with one loss, but down the stretch with their postponement. Last game, so they had a postponement. They beat Texas 83-69. Right. Huge win. Then all of these games get postponed in a row where you have TCU postponed, Oklahoma postponed, Texas Tech postponed, West Virginia postponed, and Oklahoma State postponed. You come back from your postponements to then play Iowa State, who is the worst team by far in the conference record-wise, talent-wise. Any way you look at it, they're just the worst team in a very stacked conference. They're 0-15, 2-18 overall. You win by 5, and you were trailing at halftime. Then you come in, and you get blown. Well, actually, you cancel the game versus West Virginia. Then you travel to Fog Allen Fieldhouse and get your stuff run in by Kansas 71-58. Now live in action against West Virginia. West Virginia right now is a 5-point game. I'm guessing I'm probably gonna be a little bit behind, but it's 40-35. We were talking about it a little bit yesterday. This West Virginia team, I like them. I know me and Alex are pretty high on them. I mean, just when you have that level of scoring, it's really, really hard to not like this team when it's coming from many areas. I like Texas Tech. I think I was one of the ones who was kind of high on Texas Tech earlier in the season, and I say it's strictly because when you have a guy like that in Mac McClung who can take over a game, yes, you need other guys to be filling in the scoreboard, and they've looked like they can do that, but Mac McClung being that guy who take over a game, this West Virginia team has three separate guys who could kind of do that in Sherman. I keep wanting to say Deuce McAllister.
Deuce McBride.
McBride. The Mick messes me up. And then you also have Culver. Like, all three of those guys in their respective right, I don't think are as talented as Matt McClung, but can take over a game just like him. So that's why I think they're a dangerous team in general.
I thought that guy's name was actually Deuce for a little bit, the way y'all only call him Deuce McBride.
He goes by Deuce.
It's like J.R. Smith.
Yeah. I know his name is Miles now.
Wait, is J.R. Smith? Hold on.
I would believe his birth certificate just says J.R.
It doesn't.
It does not. It's Earl Joseph Smith III. He was technically... Wait. The third? How did he get to JR? Because JR is short for Junior. They discover a random one after...
What did you say his first name was?
Earl Joseph Smith III. How do you get from the third to Junior? To JR? Because JR would have...
Earl J. Smith? Is his middle name JR?
Joseph.
Oh, it's Joseph. I thought you just said J.
No, Joseph. No. Close.
Okay, no.
West Virginia cuts it to a 3-point game.
Well, instead of going by thirds, people sometimes, like, if you're naming your kid after you and your, I don't know, father, grandfather was the same name, they'll just pass it off as you're the junior.
Fair enough. Right now, West Virginia cuts it to a 3-point ball game yet to update. Right now, on the scoring columns, you have Sherman with 12 points. He's 5 of 6 from the field. You also have McBride with 9 points going 3 of 6 from the field. And Culver has yet to put a point on the board from the field goal standpoint. He's only taken one shot, 4 rebounds, 3 points from the free throw line. And that one on Baylor's side of the ball, Butler going off right now, 5 of 11, 3 of 7 from 3-point range, has 13 points. He is their leading scorer. You also have Mitchell and Teague with 8 and 7 respectively. I mean, this game, obviously, regardless if Baylor wins or loses this game, I think, obviously, Baylor has to reschedule a ton of games. Right now on their schedule left, you still have Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. Are they not going to make them reschedule any more games after that? Or are we expecting to see Baylor have to crowd a bunch of games in that small window. Three days in between two games.
They won't make all of them up.
Obviously, I don't think they'll make all of them up. But I mean,
they
when you look at
one of them up,
when you look at that, when you look at the games they've missed though, postponed early in the season against Texas, canceled against Gonzaga, then you also have the postponement versus West Virginia earlier in the season, then postponement versus TCU, postponement versus number 12 Oklahoma, postponement versus number 7 Tech, and then another postponement versus West Virginia, postponement versus Oklahoma State. Now, after canceling with West Virginia again after the second postponement. You play West Virginia finally. I mean, that's quite a few games to make up. I guess they might not make them make up. With those two games being pretty strong games in Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, as long as they don't go 0-3, and even maybe if they go 0-3, do you still see Baylor able to hold on to that number one seed? Obviously, again, a lot can change. Any injuries, any COVID outbreaks, a really bad tournament performance can change everyone's opinion. But right now, looking at the end of this regular season, when you're going up against the number 6 team in the nation, you're going to be playing right now as it stands the number 17 team and then the number 18 team after that over the span of a few days. Do we see this team stay as the number one seed if they can win at least one of those three games?
I don't think it depends on the regular season.
It doesn't at all?
I think if they do end up winning one or two, or going undefeated with those games, obviously I think they still have a stronger chance.
Would you say that if they go undefeated, if they go 3-0 in those automatic one seed, regardless of the Big 12 tournament?
Regardless of how you finish in the Big 12 tournament,
I can agree with that.
Two wins gives you, I want to say, like a 75-80% chance of getting a one seed.
And obviously, depending on how those games go, if it's a blowout or if it's a close win, would definitely just have a little bit more into that.
Yes. And then I think if you lose all three, I think you're – percentage drops to, I want to say, 30-35.
Even with it being top 20 teams, like some solid teams who we could argue maybe are 5-4-3 seeds?
I think it really depends on the conference tournament.
It's fair.
Because if they go to a semifinals and lose to a West Virginia or a Texas Tech, I don't think they get punished. I don't think they get punished as much for that. But if they lose early in the Big 12 tournament, or they end up losing to a team like West Virginia, who they're playing right now. If they do indeed lose the regular season matchup against West Virginia, and then you lose like a championship game against West Virginia, the committee obviously has to look at that and say, well, West Virginia is seemingly the better team here.
Would you give West Virginia the number one seed then?
Yes, I think the Big 12 winner, regardless of who it is, unless it's a Texas or an Oklahoma State, unless it's a surprise team, if it's either Texas Tech, Baylor or West Virginia, I think they deserve a one seed.
Do you think those three teams, and I think you could even probably tier those teams inside, because I think that Baylor, regardless of how this end of the season goes, I think Baylor is the best team out of those three. I think West Virginia would probably be the number two team out of those three, and Texas Tech the third. Obviously, there's debate there, but do you think that those three teams have separated themselves from the rest of the Big 12? Because we know that the Big 12 is good. They've looked fairly solid, but Baylor was at the top of – they were the cream of the crop. They were that number one team who did not look like they were going to be touched. And now that they look human, do you think it's those three teams who have just separated themselves, or Baylor still separated themselves from the rest of the bunch?
I think Baylor has come down from what we originally thought. Mm-hmm. I thought they were the clear better of the pack.
They were beating teams by so much. It wasn't like they were just beating teams. They were beating the snot out of teams.
Yeah, but I looked at a matchup against Auburn and thought that was an impressive win from Baylor, the way in which they performed that game. But then when you look at what Auburn's done in the SEC, it's been terrible.
It's to say, like, Richmond found themselves being ranked as the Atlantic 10, and they thought they were going to run away with the A-10 and after that win over Kentucky and the close game against Vanderbilt. And now you fast forward to the end of the season where you look at where those teams are now. It's not that impressive of a win.
Yeah, and also I think the Big 12 has gotten better as the season's gone on, and you see as they go through more and more conference matchups just how strong the conference is.
I really didn't think Oklahoma was good, to be honest. I didn't think they deserved to be ranked in the top 25, and they've proved me wrong.
Yep, Oklahoma's another good team from there. I was blanking on them when I was trying to think of Big 12 teams.
But I still think they're not in that tier of those top three.
Not
I think
at all.
Those three have separated themselves from the rest
of
the Big
12. I think tier one is, like you said, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Baylor.
And I think that's purely just point creation. Those like the guys who they have scoring-wise.
They have some special talents on that team that separate them from teams like Texas, Kansas, and Oklahoma, and as well as Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State, I think, is the biggest underdog coming out of the Big 12. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they made a championship run in the conference tournament, or maybe made it the farthest out of all the teams in the Big 12 that are, you know, going to be making the NCAA tournament. Because if you look at that team, they've taken six games, I think, to overtime this season, and they've won all of them.
And they're tied for first in quad one wins as well. Like, that's a solid team who you did not think was going to do anything this season. But
and they didn't expect to be doing – they didn't expect to have the opportunity to play in postseason tournaments, which is why I think they're a dangerous team to be playing.
I can agree with that, but I also asked the question yesterday, and I've been thinking about it a little bit more with the Cade Cunningham situation. Do you think that they thought they had a case, or do you think that they thought the NCAA was going to be a little bit more lenient with their cases comparatively to the Auburn, who we've seen not be able to play this year in the postseason? They're officially gone. Like, do you think Cade Cunningham knew a little bit of what was going to happen, or maybe thought he had a good lawyer team and that's why he stayed? Or was it really just Oklahoma State and that Cowboys organization kept him?
Yeah, I think it was just Mike Boynton, their head coach, just made a really strong push for Cade Cunningham. And ultimately, Cade Cunningham decided to go with a coach that he really liked, and I think Mike Boynton's a great coach.
You could have given me 5 years; I would have never come up with that name.
Yeah, well, is what it is. I know my regular just random facts of athletes and coaches, but yeah, I think he just ultimately really liked the coach, and I mean, he was going to be a top five pick regardless of where he ended up. So I don't think it really mattered too much for him. But the fact that the NCAA hadn't ruled, and, you know, you just looked at it and was wondering, like, you know, how long you usually see the NCAA rule on this, I'm sure Cade Cunningham looked at it and was like, hey, there's a possibility, a slight chance that we may participate in the tournament. And I think now you look at it now, and he's going to be able to. He took that chance and...
And he made the right decision, too. I mean, he's clearly the leader of that team. Clearly, he has separated himself from all other NBA prospects as well. It worked out in the long run, and I think there was a lot of hot takes about him. Before we move on from the Big 12, just quick update. In, I believe it's being played in West Virginia, right?
Yes.
Morgantown?
Yes.
In Morgantown right now, timeout Baylor, as West Virginia goes on a little bit of a run of their own. Take the lead 50-43 with a few, probably around, I didn't look at the time, but I'm guessing 17 minutes-ish around in the second
13.
Half. 13. Ooh, I did not realize it had been
14. 13:54.
Sounds good. Moving on from the Big 12 and subtracting two and making it the Big 10. Top five matchup between two possible one seeds. Number two versus number four. Michigan, 18-1. Where do they play? What's the name of their center?
The name of their what?
Their
center.
Their
arena?
Their center. It's a center.
Where they play basketball.
It's a center. I'm going to go ahead and...
Okay.
The second
well,
word
the
is center.
The center is also a position in basketball.
My apologies.
Yeah.
So I was...
Well, who's their center?
Dickinson.
Idiot.
You know he wasn't going to pull that.
That's why I wanted to ask him, because he's a...
I don't know. The Cornfield Center?
Chrysler Center. But not spelled
cool.
Like Chrysler.
Cornfield Center?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ann Arbor,
that would
Michigan.
Be Iowa, actually.
Yeah.
Number four,
yeah.
Illinois
Nebraska.
Traveling
we don't grow corn,
Michigan. 18-6 versus 18-1. Fun fact, this day in history, Illinois actually opened its doors for admittance. This day in history,
really?
Illinois. So
that's incredible.
Do they get the big win on their birthday?
No.
Is it listed anything about IO playing tonight?
I haven't seen much, but I can check real quick. I saw I'm not going to give it as fact, but I did see a tweet from someone who works as Barstool who said he's playing with a mask on today. But then I also saw another Barstool employee quote tweet that saying, you're an idiot, so I don't know if it broke that he's not playing. I haven't seen anything yet.
Game time decision.
Game time decision normally means not going to happen. Yeah, I mean, if we did percentage, before the percentage even come out, I would argue that the percentage would be that. Now, if I saw a percentage, I would say, yes, I'm wrong, though. But no. Number four versus number two, 18-1, 13-1 in conference play versus 18-6, 14-4 in conference play. Winner this game? Actually, let me phrase this. No, because I think it's a different game. This game's going to be big, obviously, but I think Michigan's probably sealed their seed as a number one seed. At 18-1, beating the teams they've beat, regardless of how this game goes, I think they're still going to be a one seed. Does Illinois have a shot in this game? I mean, obviously, Illinois is a good basketball team, so I think a shot kind of sounds stupid. Yes, they obviously have a shot, but in terms of like actually winning this ball game and making a run for that number one seed because they still have some games to play. Do they have a shot at making this run without Io or with Io?
With Io, for sure. Mm-hmm. And especially,
is he that level of player?
Yes. Yes, he's a special talent. I mean, he can score the ball at will. I think he's the best scoring option they have on that team, even though Kofi Coburn's a great option as well down low. But especially in this game against Michigan, where they have a good defender in mm-hmm. Dickinson, who shut down Luka Garza when Michigan played Iowa last week during the, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday.
And that was a concerning thing, is watching Luka Garza struggle with an actual center. If Iowa finds themselves playing nobody with an actual center, they can make a run through the tournament. But as soon as you face a real big man, that might become an issue.
Yeah, it won't be an issue, though, if they face Tennessee second round.
Good point by you. Plavsic might give him some problems.
Okay.
But no, for Illinois, Io has been averaging 21 points, 5.3 assists, 6.3 rebounds, and a steal per game, shooting 40% from the three-point line, 48% overall from the field, and 78% from the free throw line. And Kofi Coburn has been putting in work as well, 9.9 rebounds per game, 17.7 points per game, to go along with 1.3 blocks per game, shooting 66% from the field. I mean, I think you can afford to lose this game if you're Illinois, because you still have a couple of big games left on your schedule, and you've rattled off one impressive win over Wisconsin, where you looked like the better team the entire game without your best player, and you still have one giant game coming up on the 6th of March versus number 7 Ohio State. Now, that game, I know it's a little down the road, but I want to talk about that game real quick before we hit this break. Number 7 Ohio State, depending on how they go before this game, and also depending on how Illinois looks in this Michigan game, Illinois versus Ohio State really could turn into the battle for that last one seed. That game could decide that last one seed. Now, Ohio State might have already kissed it goodbye, but with a couple of good wins and maybe a tournament performance, they could find themselves there. But I think that that game, the loser of that game, definitely takes themselves out of the one seed conversation, and I think the winner of that game throws themselves right back in the one seed conversation.
Go Illini. Right, Folky?
Do what?
Okay.
Yeah, right?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Nah. This feels like a trick.
Right?
No, I'm not saying right.
Folky was too busy doing producer stuff.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah. Arkansas, South Carolina in action right now, live from Columbia. Overtime's live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas. Arkansas, number 12 in the nation, 19-5, has really just quietly rattled off some wins. I say quietly, they've gotten the hype now. They're rolling. They're definitely a favorite to win the SEC tournament and probably be one of the favorites from the SEC to make some pushes in the tournament. But quietly, a 19-5 after losing back-to-back games to Missouri and Tennessee. Losing to Missouri 81-68 and 79-74 to Tennessee. And then losing back-to-back games to LSU and Alabama while they were still ranked. LSU while they're still ranked, not Alabama. Alabama's obviously ranked. They fell out of a lot of discussions, but they've quietly rattled off a lot of wins. Their only loss since the Alabama loss has come to Oklahoma State by 4 in the SEC Big 12 showdown. They've rattled off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wins. It's an impressive team. Do we see them make any push? Are they y'all's favorite to win the SEC tournament? How do you feel about this Arkansas Razorback team? I don't think they're frauds, but Musselman is not an experienced head coach. You don't have a lot of experience on this team. It's not a great shooting team, mainly athleticism. Do we see them making a big run in the big dance, or is this mainly an SEC tournament team? Are they going to be cutting down any nets at all?
I don't know, man. They're definitely a completely different team from earlier in the season. Like, whenever they lost to us, they were not who they are today, but they've really come on. And I think it's them or Bama, right, to win the SEC tournament? I mean, yep. That seems like the only two. Like, maybe Missouri makes a little try to make a run at it.
I think Missouri's talented enough to maybe make a run at it.
But right now it just seems Arkansas or Alabama, just the way they're playing at this moment.
That's fair. I think Arkansas is playing the best basketball right now. I think Alabama, obviously, is heads and tails, probably the most talented team. But when it comes to tournament play, I cannot bring myself to pick Alabama for either the Big Dance or this SEC tournament that's coming up, just because you have like it's lose and you're out. Yeah. You have one bad shooting night, and we've seen in Alabama's mm-hmm. six losses, mm-hmm. you have one bad shooting night, and that's what results in a loss. Fun fact here: Alabama is 19-6. Arkansas is the best record in the SEC now with 19-5.
Yeah,
because I mean Alabama is still leading by 2.5 games in the SEC standings, 14-2 mm-hmm. to 11-4, but Arkansas technically the best team in the SEC. I think Florida, I don't think you can sleep on Florida. I think LSU has the scoring as well to maybe make a little bit of run, but they have no defense, so that's definitely a challenge. I mean, I think those are the only teams. I think Kentucky is definitely a favorite just because it's Kentucky, yeah. and this seems like it's all setting up for Cal to get an mm-hmm. automatic bid. But that's really it. Like I do think this Arkansas team is talented enough to win, and especially with only South Carolina tonight that is in action and then Texas A&M left on their schedule, there's really... They don't have any more big games besides this tournament. Like, obviously, you're going to want to win those two cupcake matchups. You're not going to want to lose any of those and throw yourself out of great conversation going into the tournament. You don't want to ruin your momentum. But they don't have any more big games. Like, this Arkansas team is spoken for. Number 12 in the nation. They look pretty solid. It's all about can you trust them come March. Other teams in action tonight in the SEC, you have Auburn and Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, 12-13. Auburn fresh off the win over Tennessee, traveling to Coleman Coliseum in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to take on number 8, Crimson Tide, 19-6, 14-2 in SEC play. Alabama, 10.5 favorite, 157, the over-under.
On the note of Alabama and what you just said about tournament play, which I do agree with you on, but I'm curious because... my mind's kind of blanking here, but for the Auburn team that went to the Final Four and ultimately lost, was it to Texas Tech they lost to?
I think they lost to Virginia. I think Tech beat Loyola Chicago. No, that wasn't Loyola Chicago. What year was the other side? It doesn't matter. I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah.
That team?
Yeah, so that Auburn team that made a Final Four run with Jared Harper and...
Spencer Brown, Bryce Brown.
Bryce Brown, yep. They were a three-point shooting team mm-hmm. and relied... a lot on the three-point shooting, and they were able to make a run in a tournament, a deep run. Do you think that this Alabama team is capable of that, similar to what Auburn did? Because I agree with you for the most part on that happening, because usually you don't see that type of style working in mm-hmm. tournaments because, like you said, one-off night, and that's it. You're done.
And they have to be all back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not necessarily. You can kind of get away with a little bit of a poor performance shooting the ball from three, but you'd have to have one guy to count on. And I'm interested to know, like, if you feel confident in this Alabama team with the talented players that you mentioned they have. They have Quinterly. They have Petty. They have Herb Jones. They have three solid guys right there.
I just think, and maybe this is recency bias, or not recency bias, but whatever the reverse of recency bias, where I haven't seen that Auburn team, but I've been watching this Alabama team all season long, so maybe I'm a little more nitpicky because I've seen this right in front of my face instead of having to remember back to this Auburn team. But Isaac Okoro, I can't remember the other guy with the weird last name who tore his... Did Okoro tear his ACL, or was it the other guy... I cannot remember his name. It was a very weird last name.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know who I'm talking about. Like they had.
He was like a power forward for
them. Yes, they had some talented small ball guys that were not like, – they were solid shooters for their position, but they were just kind of a very versatile, positionless player. And Okoro is doing great minutes in Cleveland right now. Like I think they had more NBA talent-ready players from that aspect, and so I think that's why it worked a lot for them is because not only did they have the shooting with Brown and Jared Harper and they just got hot at the right time, but then you also had that NBA level talent. I don't know if Alabama has that NBA level talent at the front court that Auburn team was able to have. I'm going to look up that Auburn team real quick.
Yeah, I was trying to find the same thing.
2019.
The guy who tore his ACL?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Auburn?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it Chuma Okeke?
Yes.
Yep. That was it.
Yes, I knew it was a very weird...
Straight from the brain.
I knew it was a very weird name. It was Isaac Okoro and... what was the other guy on that team? There was a couple other players. I mean, they just played very, very...
Bryce Brown, Jared Harper.
Yes, Chuma yes. Yes, and then you also had Alan Flanagan.
McCormick, too, who's pretty good. He was a good backup mm-hmm. point guard that they had.
Alan Flanagan, who gave us the business on Saturday, also was pretty impactful in those games during that run as well. But to answer your question, I do think that they had a little bit more front court NBA talent. I don't know if Alabama's quite there yet, but I think their shooting is better overall in terms. I do think it's very lopsided. I say it always. It's going to be interesting. But tonight, 10.5 favorites. Auburn coming off of a big win. Alabama coming off of a loss. Also coming off of a couple of embarrassing games. One to mention from Vanderbilt, where they let them keep close. South Carolina kept them close. Do you see this as a bounce back game for Alabama, or do you see this as Auburn continuing to take their shots right before the end of the season? I think it's going to be a bounce back game. I think Alabama's going to find their rhythm. I think they're finally going to be able to find their shot from 3-point range. I think they're going to blow this team out of the water.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Alabama too. You know, as much as I was kind of impressed with the way Auburn performed without Sharif Cooper against Tennessee, expecting that Sharif Cooper will be out again, I just don't see it happening against this Alabama team. And the fact that Auburn is not that great defensively either, they're not really built to be able to defend a perimeter-centric team in Alabama. I think Alabama will shoot the ball well, get back on track, and win this game.
LSU, we're assuming we're all in agreement that they're going to beat Vanderbilt. They're 14-point favorites tonight against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, they're just much more talented.
Two games that scream over to me tonight in Alabama-Auburn with 157.5, and then you also have Vanderbilt and LSU at 156. That's a high number, but I still think it's going to find a way to go over because those teams can both score. And then you also have a game that screams under to me, the Pavilion at Ole Miss, Oxford, Mississippi, Kentucky, traveling to Ole Miss to take on the are they still the Rebels technically? Land Sharks, whatever they...
Yeah.
Ole Miss. They're traveling to take on Ole Miss. 3-point favorites, 131.5, the over-under. This game screams under to me, even though that number is so low. Whoever hits 55 first wins this ballgame. I think Ole Miss, after trying to make that push, trying to make that run to the bubble, found themselves on the bubble, and after that loss to Mississippi State, has found themselves sliding right back down. Do we have any hope for this Ole Miss team come tournament time to maybe get that at-large bid, cutting down the nets in the SEC tournament, or are they not cut out for it? They made a little push. We talked about them for about a week. They lose to Mississippi State, and it's done so.
Well, yeah, they lost to Vanderbilt as well, did they not?
Ooh, that's a great question. Let me scroll. Yes, they did, 75-70 coming off. Yeah. But they also did sharp brain Will Stevens, picked them in their only win of the past three games where they beat Missouri.
You're really going to pat yourself on the back for that?
Pat myself on the back for everything.
When you just completely did not know Ole Miss lost to Vandy in their tournament.
I didn't know their most recent game.
Done.
I thought their most recent game was the win over Missouri. I didn't realize they had played Vanderbilt. I apologize sincerely. I think they're going to get the win tonight over Kentucky. I do think it's...
I hope they do.
Yeah, me too. But I think it's going to be the first to score 60 wins that ball game if anybody can score 60.
It's insane how good they are at defense. Like, I thought Tennessee was by far the best defensive team in the SEC. Ole Miss has proved me wrong. They are incredible. Like, every game they play is in the 50s and 60s. And that's because their offense stinks, and that's all they got going for them is their defense.
They have the highest points in their last 6 ball games. Auburn scored 84. That's the highest, and that's just Auburn being Auburn. If you just go past the past 5 ball games, allowed 59 to Missouri, 74 to South Carolina, then allow 66 to Mississippi State. You get over that 60 mark and you lose the ball game. They only allow 53 to Missouri, and they allow 75 to Vanderbilt. You hold Kentucky under 60, you win this ball game. Let's see how it plays out. Trivia next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks.
Guys, we got some Blue Bloods on the bubble yet again this year. Seems like every year more and more Blue Bloods find themselves on the bubble of the tournament. And this year, it's a year like no other with Blue Bloods on the bubble. And speaking of them, a couple of them are in action tonight against each other. You have Indiana and Michigan State, two bubble teams going up against each other tonight in an interesting matchup in the Big Ten. Quick, what center does Michigan State play? And we've asked this question 3 times now.
What now?
The center. What's the name of the center of Michigan State? East Lansing?
The Breslin Center.
It is the Breslin Center. Look at you learning out here. Learning. The Breslin Center, East Lansing, Michigan. And then you also have two other bubble teams from the ACC with Duke traveling to Atlanta, Georgia to take on Georgia Tech. What pavilion does Georgia Tech play in?
the Tech Pavilion.
If you were going to describe someone as, like, if their name wasn't McCam, but they were kind of acting like a dude named McCam, you would describe them as kind of being McCamish.
McCamish Pavilion?
It's the McCamish Pavilion.
which hint that was.
Okay, that's the best I could do. They're McCamish.
Which university is Pauley Pavilion?
Let me think. Hold on.
You're not thinking.
NYU.
You're typing.
Hold on. No, it's the one.
PAL or PAL PAU.
UCLA, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that is UCLA. Yeah, no. I remembered that. Yeah.
Good pull by Folky. Are we not going to give Folky the credit?
Thanks, guys.
Did you search that?
No.
No.
It's a good pull.
Sure it is.
But don't make eye contact, Folky.
Indiana and Michigan State in action. 3.5 favorite Michigan State. They lose. Who did they lose to? Was it Minnesota? Who'd they lose to? Who beat them? Maryland. I was close.
Yeah.
We were close.
Yeah, man.
Whatever. Folky, will you turn his mic off? Save him from himself.
What's it matter, man?
No, they lose to Maryland in kind of a must-win scenario, 73-55, just a complete
debacle,
ass-kicking, as Russell Smith would say.
I don't want to talk about ass-kickings.
Well, Rutgers, Nebraska, was that senior night too?
It wasn't good.
No, it was senior night for, I think, Nebraska. But
oh, okay.
Well, good for them. Nebraska. Okay. Happy ending.
Nice guys. It makes me look bad too. They're in my way too early Final Four.
Yeah, they did.
Well, good. Everybody gets a happy senior night.
Still bad when you lose by 20 to Nebraska, the worst team in the Big Ten.
The Spartans still have games to make up. You have Indiana tonight, 8 p.m.
Indiana two bubble teams. First four out.
That's what I'm saying. These two teams are both finding themselves on the bubble. Winner of this one will probably find themselves staying on the bubble. The loser of this one will probably find themselves not on the bubble.
I mean, this is a playoff game for the tournament.
If you are Michigan State, you still do have two games against the number two team in the nation. So if you rattle off two wins in those, you can find yourself back on the bubble. But this is really a must-win game. Spartans or Hoosiers? Which Blue Bloods winning tonight?
I'm going to go Spartans.
I'm going to agree with
at home.
Sparty on, yeah.
Indiana, I've watched their, I want to say, last three games, two or three games, and they have not looked great. And particularly against Michigan State, they played Michigan State at home, had a lead for a majority of the game, and in the last 8 minutes, they gave up the lead, and Michigan State just started to pull away. And Indiana, I mean, they looked good toward the beginning of Big Ten play, and they looked like they were going to be a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team, but would surely get into the tournament. And they've just tailed off to where now, when they're playing some of the lesser teams in the Big Ten, they're really struggling, and they look very unconvincing.
In their last five, they are 1-4, only win coming a 10-point win over Minnesota. Three straight losses. They have played some solid opponents, but that's what happens when you're playing in the Big Ten. You're playing solid opponents game in and game out. When they play good opponents, they lose ball games. The only good opponent they've been able to beat, and for some reason it seems like they just have Luka Garza and Iowa's book. They beat Iowa both times they played them this season, but every other good team who they faced, they have struggled with. Northwestern, Minnesota, Nebraska, Maryland, Penn State are the only teams you see W's next to. So I agree
both
with you.
Both the Miller brothers could be out of the tournament this year.
Wow. That would be nice. I'd like that. I'd like that.
Well, I mean, I like that because Sean Miller's a cheater. But
okay.
I got no problems with that.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but there's also like...
So you're not a fan of Sean
Miller? 99%.
No.
You don't... No?
No.
A man of your own mindset?
What do you mean of my own mindset?
He cheated, right?
Yeah, he cheated.
You cheat like every day.
What do I cheat at?
From one cheater to the next,
birthdays.
Duke is traveling to the McCamick.
Mainly birthdays. That's
full. You're full of lies.
From one.
You sit on a throne of lies.
From one cheater to another.
Maybe no sports figures better. That's all I got to say.
Cheat.
From one cheater to another. Duke. Coach K traveling
big brain
with his 11-9 team, 9-7 in conference play, down to McCamish Pavilion. Atlanta, Georgia, Georgia Tech 13-8, 9-6 in ACC play. Both these teams are also bubble teams. This is a win in your end game. I also think that the loser of this game is going to lose the remaining games on their schedule. I think if Duke loses this, they lose to North Carolina by a lot. Who wins this one quick?
I'll go Duke.
Tech is a 1.5 favorite.
They've heated up a little bit.
They have.
Give me Duke.
Their three-point shooting is getting better.
I don't like that I'm saying it. I want them to lose. I think Duke wins, though.
Duke money line is a smart bet.
I think Duke wins.
Yeah, just like Krzyzewski in a big game compared to Pastner.
Yeah, me too.
Fair enough. It's fair. Trivia next?
Sure, whatever.
Thanks. I'm glad you obliged.
Sure, man.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, Alex Comas, Overtime Live. White Claw Hard Seltzer is crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. They're only 100 calories, and they're now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including, but not limited to, fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon, each one with a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Tucker, sweating out a bet currently.
Up to 13 seconds.
West Virginia hits the free throw.
Okay, we got a timeout. Let's play trivia.
Misses the open end of the double bonus. Makes it a 2-point ball game with 13.6 seconds left. Baylor with the ball, but it's time for trivia.
I'm gonna have a heart attack.
It's time for trivia. How much money did you put on that game?
$9,000.
That's a lot.
No.
So you're up first on trivia.
I put 20% of my balance.
Okay. You're up first on trivia.
It's a good amount.
Okay. Yeah, it's a good amount.
We have this day's in histories.
Okay.
Forgotten college football playoff quarterbacks.
Okay.
Or Disney.
Let's go this day in history.
This day in history. Sounds good.
It's all from just today?
Yes, all today.
Okay.
Bogey's just got a grin on his face right now. He's can't just wait. Waiting.
On this day in history... This player set the greatest NBA basketball feat. That's correct. Wilt Chamberlain scores 100 points on this day in history. Alex, 1-0.
On this day, this player, Wilt Chamberlain.
We talked about it this morning on 3 and Out.
Okay.
So
Didn't listen to the show. I apologize.
So he cheated.
Alex.
Sorry, I do 2 shows a day.
This day in history.
Congratulations.
No, I'm going to go with forgotten college football quarterbacks.
Sounds good. 2015 is the year. Michigan State is the team. Who is the quarterback?
Connor Cook.
Is incorrect. But technically, it is correct. If anybody can give me the correct version, I will take it. Because you're both technically correct. There's a slight Irish type of thing to his name.
What?
If you...
It wasn't O'Neill, was it?
If you got a cup of coffee, you can take the F off and put an apostrophe, and it shortens it to a cup o' coffee.
Connor O'Cook?
It's Connor O'Cook. Was the technical name. Connor Cook is correct.
Really?
Yes, Connor O'Cook with the apostrophe is his technical name. Never put that on the jersey, but Connor Cook is correct. Who got it first? Because you both said it at the exact same time.
I said it first.
Okay.
Or whatever.
Folky's going to run away in Disney, so it doesn't matter.
Was this a joke?
No, his name is actually Connor O'Cook.
Well, that's just...
That wouldn't be a very good joke.
No.
Which I'm not known for, but still.
I was going to fist fight you if you gave Folky the actual point for Connor O'Cook.
Well, because we said it at the same time, but then I got it.
Well, you see,
right.
I said it first, but...
No, you did.
No, I did.
Same time.
No.
But then I...
Would you like to stay in
right.
college football quarterbacks this day in history or Disney?
This day in history.
This day in history. Sounds good. In 2004, this team beats St. Bonaventure to finish the year with a perfect 27-0 record in the Atlantic 10 Conference and became the Atlantic 10 Conference Championship.
Xavier.
It's incorrect.
Say that again.
This team finishes their season with an 82-50 victory over St. Bonaventure.
Georgetown.
Finishing... And completing a perfect 2004 27-0 season of the Atlantic 10 division. They were the champions of the Atlantic 10 that year.
UConn.
Richmond.
George Mason. I don't know if they're in the A-10. Beat St. Bonaventure.
Well, we're going to take a second because it's a tie ball game with 2.7 seconds left right here.
Oof. What happened?
And a throw-in for West Virginia. We could be watching
history.
Okay,
I'll just think of my
A-10. Providence?
I'll let you keep shouting answers. I'll tell you if you're correct while we watch
Rhode Island.
UMBC. Throw that thing deep.
Wow. Tipped. Uh-oh. Oh, they're going to hold it?
Overtime.
They didn't have a timeout. That's a technical.
Do they have?
They don't have timeouts. That's a technical.
Okay, there's none listed on there, but there's none. There are no timeouts listed on the scorecard thing.
That's a technical. Give them the free throws. I win this bet.
Did he just Chris Webber this?
They don't have timeouts.
But do they? Like the scorecard could be wrong. The scorecard could be wrong.
The score bug is always right.
Yes, the yellow line is official.
Technical foul.
It's tipped. He gets the timeout with around 2 seconds left if they have the timeout. I mean, they definitely have.
They didn't have timeouts. It's a technical.
Anybody got an answer for this?
We don't know because we have the volume on.
No.
We don't have the volume on, I should say.
That would be St. Joe's. 2004 St. Joseph team went undefeated.
Wasn't there was Jameer Nelson on that? No.
No idea. I didn't look at the team. I just saw. I copied and pasted the sentence. So no one got that point. Tucker, you were the last person with it.
Disney.
Sounds good.
Whatever.
Why did you do that?
Who cares? Let's keep going.
Released in 1941, what is the only Disney animated feature film with a title character that never speaks?
Steamboat Willie.
Released in 1941, what is the only Disney animated feature film with a title character that never speaks?
Pluto.
They got the timeout off, 1.8 seconds left. Baylor ball throwing it in.
They didn't have timeouts.
ESPN messed up.
That's a technical. ESPN should be...
Released in 1941, what is the only Disney animated feature film with a title character that never speaks? They throw the ball out of bounds? They just give it to West Virginia?
Baylor just threw the ball out of bounds.
Holy cow.
Is it
and Tinkerbell? Now they get the ball on the other end, right?
Yes.
1.8 seconds, 81-81.
What was your
West Virginia has a chance to win me money right
Elefante.
Here, fellas.
Oh, Dumbo?
It is Dumbo, correct. It is Dumbo.
Oh.
Folky on the board. Would you like to stay in Disney?
They are about to throw it in with one.
Yeah, let's take a break from trivia before we move on to the next question.
Okay. West Virginia ball. About to throw it in. 1.8 seconds.
McBride throwing it in.
Running their set. Catch.
Gets it back. Dropped. Double clutch.
Double clutch three.
Oh, he missed. He missed it. He overtime. That would have been sick, though.
I would have ran naked through the neighborhood.
Wow.
Oh, well, I've lost this bet. Overtime won't be nice to me. It never is.
Fair enough. Folky, would you like to stay in Disney?
Sure.
Sounds
we'll just stay there.
Good. What is the title of the song that Jiminy Cricket famously sings during the opening credits of Pinocchio, now famously in the opening credits of every Disney movie?
You're not a boy.
What?
Can I just sing it?
Sure.
I don't know the title of the song.
Go ahead and sing it.
Well, sing the chorus.
When you wish upon a star.
Ding, ding, ding. It is When You Wish Upon a Star is the title of the song.
That's the name of the song. Cool.
Those are the only lyrics.
Makes no difference who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's When You Wish Upon a Star.
Anything
would you like?
Heart desires.
Yeah, I believe it's 2-1-1. Would you like to stay in Disney or would you like to travel somewhere else?
Yeah.
Stay in Disney. Sounds good.
I will challenge the king.
What's the name of the Disney cartoon character that is the girlfriend of Donald Duck? Who's Donnie's girlfriend?
Daisy.
Daisy Duck is correct. Mm. Would you like to stay in Disney?
I thought Daisy was the cow.
What?
That's very disrespectful of you to say about Daisy. She's a lovely lady.
No, I'm pretty sure there's
a cow. You cannot call a woman a cow.
No, what cow are you talking about?
I forgot what her name is. It's not Daisy.
You're right, it's not. It's Clarabelle.
Clarabelle, yeah. Real close, but...
Real close, yeah.
Where would you like to go, Alex?
Anywhere but Disney.
Sounds good. 2014 Alabama quarterback.
What year?
2014.
Jalen Hurt.
Alabama quarterback. Incorrect.
No,
last name is a video game.
Yeah. Huh?
Blake Sims.
Blake Sims is correct.
Blake Sims.
Number six. That was the guy who sponsored this whole entire category. I completely forgot Blake Sims even existed in that first playoff. That is correct. Right. Where would you like to go next?
Let's go this day in history.
This day in history. Sounds good. On this day in history. Okay. I wanted to make sure I had all the information in front of me correct, and I was trying to read over it before I butchered anything. Julie Roberts stars in this musical film.
Julia Roberts?
Julie Roberts.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
Close, but incorrect.
Gone
she did
wind.
Get her star in that movie, but yeah. This movie, live action remake. What?
Sound of Music?
Sound of Music is correct. Good pull by Folky. Where would you like to go, Folk?
Oh, my God.
You know, we'll stay.
We'll stay in this day in
wow.
history?
Well, actually, no. We're going to, what's the players?
Players?
Yeah.
You want the quarterbacks?
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. 2019 Oklahoma quarterback.
Kyler Murray.
What?
Wait, hold on.
Baker Mayfield.
Let me make sure I have this correct.
Wait. It's Kyler Murray.
Yeah, that's kind of important. And I said both quarterbacks.
Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
So, my point either way.
That's Kyler. It was 2019.
Hold on. Hold on.
Shouldn't you have the answers like pulled up ready?
No, no, no. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. Yeah. You're wrong.
What was the question?
Baker Mayfield?
No. 2019 Oklahoma quarterback.
Jalen Hurts?
Jalen Hurts is correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. That's why I took a second and panicked. But I was right. Kyler Murray was the year before. Jalen Hurts was the quarterback in 2019 for Oklahoma.
Is it funny, Folky?
It is.
Folky, where would you like to go next?
We'll go back to Disney.
Okay, back to Disney. Sounds good. What is the name of the toy store in Toy Story 2?
Al's Toy Barn.
Al's Toy Barn is correct.
I can't believe I have to drive to work on a Saturday.
And it's across the street.
Where would you like to go?
Disney.
Disney. Sounds good. What is the name of Ariel's crustacean friend?
I know this, but I don't.
Under the Sea. La la la. Under the Sea. Barada.
Jock.
No.
That's the shrimp in Nemo.
What's the letter?
S.
Simon. Steve.
No. It's kind of an oceany name with the first syllable.
Sebastian.
It is Sebastian. Oh. Sebastian is correct. Where would you like to go?
I would like to stay in Disney movies, please.
Guess we're staying in Disney. What were the first words ever spoken by Mickey Mouse, also a food?
Cheese.
Hot dog.
Hot dog is correct.
Hot dog. Let's stay in Disney. Diggity dog.
Hot dog.
Which Grammy-winning... Uh-huh. Artist composed the songs for the Tarzan soundtrack.
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins went viral on Twitter on TikTok and Twitter recently.
He did not have to go that hard.
No, he did not.
He had no business. What was he doing?
He went so hard. Would you like to stay in Disney?
This is a kids movie. Yeah.
What town does Lightning McQueen find himself in?
Radiator Springs.
That is correct. Radiator Springs. What's the county?
Ooh. Granger.
Carburetor.
Carburetor County. That is right. Yeah. Ha ha.
Would you like to stay in Disney?
Yeah.
I think we're just going to have to sprint through these last questions. That's Emperor fine. Kuzco turns into what animal in the Emperor's New Groove? That is correct. It is a llama.
Go ahead.
Folky, get on the board. Who is Goofy's son?
Max.
What's his full name?
Max Goof. Max Goofy. Maximilian Goofy.
Maximilian Goofy is what I was looking for. What animated film... let me rephrase that.
Talk about cheating.
What was the first animated film to earn a nomination for Best Picture? In 1991.
Cinderella.
Incorrect.
Snow White.
Incorrect.
Toy Story.
Incorrect.
Finding Nemo.
Incredibles.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
In what year?
1991.
What genre?
Animated. Disney movie.
A Bug's Life.
Is it a princess movie?
Yes, it is a princess
movie. They have a
movie.
Few of those.
It is a princess movie.
Beauty and the Beast.
It is Beauty and the Beast. Mm. Okay. Would you like to stay in Disney?
No.
Okay.
If you got playoff quarterbacks, I'll take that.
I got a couple more playoff quarterbacks. Who's the 2017 Clemson quarterback?
Deshaun Watson.
All of you are wrong.
Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant is correct. Deshaun Watson was in the 2017 draft. Yeah. Kelly Bryant was the in-between piece. Would you like to stay in quarterbacks?
Yes.
2016 Washington quarterback.
Jake Locker.
Incorrect.
Nope.
He just gave you the first name of this guy.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm.
No, that's Georgia.
Jacob Eason.
No.
Is that right?
He did go to Washington.
If a banana is turning from green to yellow to a brown black color.
Jake Rippon?
It would be
Jake Rippon.
No, it would be
Jake
Rotten.
Jake
It is
Rotten.
Jake Browning. Jake Browning.
Bananas don't brown. Well, I guess
it was a stretch, okay? I apologize.
Sure.
Okay. This day in history, please.
This day in history sounds good. Let's just take this segment as long as possible because I still got a few questions. This day in history in 2020, see how far back you can remember in the year 2020, because that was a long time ago, wasn't it? Mm. Public Enemy parts ways with this member of its group after he performs for free at a Bernie Sanders rally. Year 2020, the rap group Public Enemy splits ways with this rapper because he performs a free concert at a Bernie Sanders rally.
Ghostface.
Known for the clock and known for his
MC Hammer
love show.
Flavor Flav.
It is Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
Where would you like to go?
Let's go Disney.
Disney sounds good, man.
Clean it up.
There's only a couple more questions.
Folky comes in thinking he's all hot stuff.
I never said that.
Who was
said that?
Who was Experiment 626?
Stitch.
Correct.
Just keep moving.
Just keep going through Disney.
Just keep going.
Quasimodo was the bell ringer of this famous college.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct.
Keep it rolling.
How many theme parks are inside of Walt Disney World?
Four.
Can you name them?
Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Magic Mountain.
Incorrect.
I got it. Epcot, Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom.
The fourth?
The Mystic Kingdom.
If you're in LA touring these, you would be watching movies be made.
Hollywood Kingdom.
It's not a kingdom, but where are we sitting in right now? We're live from the
Hollywood Studios.
It's Hollywood Studios is correct answer. Let me see if I have any
Do
more
I get a
in
point
here.
For that?
I don't think so. I got like half of
it. I get a point for
it
that.
It doesn't really
Folky
matter.
Folky, write it down.
I have no more Folky Disney questions. I have a couple more this days and a couple more college quarterbacks we can sprint through real quick. Which would you rather have?
I don't care.
Quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks.
Please.
Okay. 2018 Notre Dame quarterback.
Ian Book.
Ian Book is correct. That's all the quarterbacks I have because that's only years that the playoff has been in action. I'm trying to think. I don't even remember what happened this year in the playoff.
Alabama won.
It's a good point by you. Ohio State played them. What was the four seed? Notre Dame. Never mind. All quarterbacks have already played in the playoff. We'll go this day then. This movie comes out in premieres in 1931.
I'll just turn off the mic.
I can give more hints about it. Obviously, no. This is just movie in general. This day in history. This movie premieres in New York. Jack Black was famous in the remake of this movie. What would happen if a really large lizard fought a really big gorilla?
I know this movie.
That'd be crazy. I wonder what you would call it. If like you had this giant like mutant
King Kong.
King Kong is correct. King Kong is correct. We'll go with the last other movie that came out on this day in history. This movie, a Dr. Seuss book about the trees.
Lorax. The Lorax.
The Lorax.
Thank you. Thank you. It is The Lorax. And final, this day in history. This NBA style event happened for the first time.
Combine. Draft.
All-Star Game.
All-Star Game is correct. Combine or draft, just not in the right time frame, Folky.
I don't know when the draft is.
Bad things are happening.
How many points does Tucker have?
Like all of them.
72.
We'll do one more. This famous British politician born in 1940 passed away.
Winston Churchill.
In 2010. What's his middle name?
Who cares?
Spencer.
He's Winston Churchill. Spencer? People were naming their kid Spencer back in the the 1890s.
I just told you he was born in 1940.
Born in 1940?
Maybe not. Maybe I copied and pasted the wrong era.
I gotta say, because he was around for that World War, so. You know, World War II stuff.
He was definitely alive during 1940.
Maybe it's a different Winston Churchill. Maybe it's Winston Spencer Churchill.
The junior.
Maybe that's why it is Winston Spencer Churchill, and I just read Winston Churchill and didn't even pay it. Look, maybe. Will you look up Winston Spencer Churchill real quick?
Yeah. It's the same guy.
When was he born? 1940?
No chance. 1874, my
When did he pass away?
65. What are you calling 1940? What are you doing?
I had 1940 and he passed away in 2010.
2010? 2010? Huh?
Blame the source.
Okay, wait. No, it totally, it says on Google, died March 2nd, 2010.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's get out of here. That's today, 2010.
He was not 20 years old. Like coming out of World War II.
They're saying.
I realize that. We have made a mistake on one number, but not all the numbers. He did pass away in 2010.
I think Wikipedia's got something figured out because he was the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom in 1940.
So maybe his power was born in 1940, and I just copied and pasted only the. It literally just says in parentheses B 1940. That could be like his power began in 1940.
Well, I mean, it says died 2nd March 2010, age 69.
Nice.
Well, but that's not when he died. He was way older than that.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know.
The mysterious case his of kids, Winston Churchill.
His kids are Randolph, Marigold, Diana, Sarah, and Mary.
Marigold is a fire name.
Marigold Churchill.
What up, MG?
MG.
What's up, MGC? Oh. Yeah, that's a baller name. That's a baller
it
name.
It is pretty good.
She was ruling the world with her messed up teeth.
Yes.
We'll be right back. That was a fun trivia segment.
My God.
If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville Baseball Offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit them at g3helpme.com or call them at 865-558-8030. They've been serving East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money you deserve. It's g3helpme.com. That's 865-558-8030. Did you see these Man Campbell quotes?
I've seen a little snippet of them. I've not seen the...
I'm in love with this man.
The full thing. You think he's got what it takes to be
No.
A, no.
But I'm in love with
gotcha.
How he talks.
He talks like he's on steroids.
So I have the full quote.
He's on steroids, right? Is he big? What's he look like? Is he a muscular
guy?
Does
it matter what Dan Campbell looks like? He's going to bite your kneecap off.
Does he look like he's on... Just keep talking. I'll see if he's on steroids.
I'm just gonna read this whole quote.
He's on steroids.
It's about Lions' new head coach. I'll read the first quote, and then I'll read the whole quote. Lions' new head coach Dan Campbell, when asked about final roster decisions between he and Brad Holmes, the GM of the Lions, quote said, "A true alpha knows when it's time to concede." Is the beginning of the quote.
All right.
Talking about playing time and final roster decisions. Full quote, Brad Holmes, GM, and I, if you don't agree, well, here's what I would say. I kind of brought this up weeks ago, but here's what I would say about a true alpha. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede for the betterment of the team. And so I would tell you one way or another, there's already been a couple of things where it's like, maybe we don't, you see it a little more this way, I see it a little. We haven't had one problem, and we're not going to have a problem. Because if we feel like it's better, if we feel like it's the betterment for the team, and ultimately, let's go to what is, Brad feels one way. What does the pack feel like? How does everybody feel? How do all the coaches feel? How does Ray Agnew, assistant GM, feel? And if I'm the one, the odd man out, I've got zero problem. So listen, I'm just telling you. I know you're going with it and it won't be a problem. I know it won't. And we will come to the best agreement. And I'm not going to wallow in my own pride and worry about, oh, I really want to be this guy and I can't believe that he didn't see it my way. One of the reasons I feel like I'm here is because, man, believe it or not, I'm a good listener too, and I can hear all sides. And there's, God, I love this man. And there's been things that people have been able to change my mind because I'm able to look at it, and I'm able to see, and I can digest it. And it may take a day, but you come back, and you know what? I see what you see, and I get it. I understand where you're going with. So to answer your question, Brad and I have the final say on these things, and we'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. We'll get this thing worked out one way or another.
Dan. He just talks, huh? He's Michael Scott. I mean, you start a sentence not really knowing where you're going with it.
I read that almost perfectly. If it sounded like I was all over the place, it's because Dan Campbell is all over the place. I'm in love with this. Biting the kneecaps off. A true alpha knows when it's time to concede. Ugh, I don't really want to be this guy where I don't get to believe that it's my way. Like, that was a quote inside of a quote. He was playing a character. He's doing a stand-up special while giving interviews.
I don't think he's capable of thinking that far ahead.
You don't think Dan...
I love him as in he's a great player's coach. Like, he's the ultimate player's coach.
He looks like he just
He's a guy's guy.
He looks like he just walked off the set of Sons of Anarchy, and now he's the head coach of the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
He's on a little bit of steroids.
A little bit.
Just a little supplemental amount.
A smidge.
Just a little bit.
Just one little shot.
Just a little bit. Once a day. Three times a day. All day. He's got a constant IV.
A little bit.
He's
got that HGH drip.
That's him. And he's just seems like he's at 10 at all times.
He is pretty cute.
He gets hyped up to do these interviews, I think, these little press conferences.
Thanks, Folky.
Yeah.
This guy needs to write a book. I'd probably read his book.
Oh, I'd read it. Well,
there wouldn't be a bit of punctuation in it.
But
it'd just be words.
I said it a couple days ago when we were talking about the Lions. Yeah, we were talking about which of the new coaches we think will do the best job, mm-hmm. and then which of the new coaches is going to have the toughest. And I said I really am not convinced on Dan Campbell, and I think this quote just sent me even more into belief of what
I
said.
That he's the man? Oh.
No.
My bad.
Of the fact that it's just not going to work out because, that can work in college where you have a guy – he's similar to Ed Orgeron, and he's the ultimate player coach. Players love playing for him, you know, and he could get a team motivated to play any given game day. But when it comes to managing the game mm-hmm. and strategy, he is not built for that.
Yeah, college football is much more – obviously coaches are coaching. They're coaches for a reason, don't get me wrong. But college football, very much on a given in-and-out Saturday, not playoff ball or anything – it's whoever has the most talented roster is normally going to win the ballgame.
Exactly.
That's normally how everything sets up. And then if you get your guys in the right position, they'll make the plays. NFL, everyone is as equally talented. Obviously, they're superstars, but everyone is talented. Everyone is better than a college athlete. There's a reason they're pro athletes. They're the reason they're in the NFL. You got to be able to coach if you're in the NFL.
Yep. And that's why I'm surprised that he even got this gig. Like, I'm surprised this is his second head coaching gig because I felt that once you saw what he did with Miami when he was the interim head coach, and I believe he got a stint as the head coach. They labeled him as just the head coach. I think he got one season.
I remember his press conference. He was wearing shorts. He's the man from the stance. I'll look up the picture. Hold on. Continue your point. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just remembered the meme picture. My bad.
Like, I'm surprised the Lions went in this direction when after what happened with Patricia and how that completely blew up your organization, how – the guy you end up hiring to like build the new culture and to take you out of this abysmal era that they've been in, the guy that you hope to lead you out of it was Dan Campbell. Like it,
yeah.
Surely he didn't have a vision.
You tell me that man doesn't get you going, doesn't get you ready to play. Look at that stance.
He is the ultimate hype man.
Look,
I'm not going to disagree with
go
that.
Ahead and
this
hand
is
the-
his. This is his getting the tag of interim off. Look at that stance. He is ready for war at this press conference.
How would you feel if Gronkowski was the head coach of the Titans? That's kind of what this looks like.
Yes.
He's Gronk as a head football coach.
Yes.
That'd be pretty sick.
I guess you could argue...
He's going to be a good locker room guy.
You could argue that from, I guess, Vrabel. Like, he kind of gives off that player's
Vrabel
coach
is
guy.
At least smart.
Yeah, but he's got strategy behind it.
I mean, yeah,
in game coach.
We've seen him do the Patriots maneuvers where, I mean, he even screwed the Patriots with the rule that the Patriots screwed another team off of. Like,
Dan Campbell would not be capable of ever doing that.
I tend to agree.
If he even knows more than like five rules.
From one loud spoken, very similar in ways people from Dan Campbell to J.J. Watt. Talking about J.J. Watt, we obviously talked about the news yesterday that he was signing with Arizona for that $31 million deal. First off, we never brought up how the fact that it was a rumor that it was $15 and $16 million was the most he was getting, and then $31 is what he's able to get and doubling that. So credit for you for going and finding the bag, but apparently according to J.J. Watt, quote, all the signs were pointing towards Arizona. He picked the Cardinals from a, quote, group of 4 or 5 finalists after an aggressive recruitment. He said that it was certainly close and that the decision was described as, quote, difficult. I give them credit. They attacked from all angles, Watts said of the Cardinals' recruitment during the introductory Zoom news conference on Tuesday. There was, I think, the general manager and the owner, and everyone did a great job. I mean, there were players, there were coaches, there were non-football people whatsoever that reached out and were in my ear trying to convince me to come down here and tell me all the great things about it, and not only on the field, but sending me pictures of Paradise Valley and everything off the field as well. So their recruiting pitch was strong and heavy, but at the end of the day, I told my wife, you know, all the signs just kept pointing down here to Arizona. And in a short time on the ground, I can tell you I'm absolutely pleased and couldn't be happier with my decision. Watt also talked about having a, quote, young, extremely talented quarterback here who can do things. He's turning 32 in March, March 22nd. If anybody's doing birthdays on that day, you'll have J.J. Watt. He turns 32 on that day. And there's a lot of exciting things about what's happening down in Arizona. He even texted Kyler Murray saying, I'm here. I believe in you. How much do we believe in J.J. Watt?
I believe in him a decent amount. I mean, he's pretty good, man. He gets double-teamed a lot.
Again, we talked about it. He's not the next step from a non-contender to a Super Bowl contender, but the Cardinals are right there on that doorstep. Obviously, four very solid teams in the division that they're in. They were right there on the doorstep, and I think we all agree that this was the level of player that can take you from being a almost playoff contender to a playoff contender. Maybe not a Super Bowl contender, but if Arizona can add a few more pieces, they can find themselves there. I mean, you do have DeAndre Hopkins there as well. I don't know. I'm intrigued. Very intrigued.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today when it comes to the NFC picture. So, I mean, we'll obviously go through this, you know, as we kind of lose topics to talk about, you know, as basketball comes to a close. Mm-hmm. Where we kind of make our early season predictions. But when you look at the NFC picture, I don't think any of us would have the Cardinals as winning the NFC West. Am I correct in that?
Man, that depends. I think
Cardinals or Rams? Or 49ers? I mean,
I take the Cardinals out of that bunch.
Really?
You could argue that they're two. I think the Seahawks are obviously better now, dependent on everything that happens in the offseason. Keeping Russell Wilson and, yes, keeping key pieces on the defense as well. But I really do think that the Cardinals were just kind of a step away, and the Rams were not impressive this season. Like, they got some wins.
They had a good defense.
Yeah. I mean, it was their defense and also a surprise running game. So, I mean, I do not trust that Rams team, especially with the new addition of Stafford. I know a lot of people are very hyped on Stafford and think that the Lions lost that trade by getting Goff, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's the reverse and Goff has a decent time in Detroit. Not saying he's going to do anything of merit up there, but my gut instinct, and I kind of think I'm probably going to be wrong just based on what everyone else is saying, but my gut instinct is that I think the Rams lost that trade when it comes said and done. I think Goff has a little bit of a higher ceiling, but a lot of people have been saying otherwise, so I think I might be wrong on this one.
I just think the entire NFC West is up for grabs.
It was up for grabs last year, sure. And Seattle kind of sealed their deal or sealed the fate as the better team out of that division. Mm-hmm. But even then, I think that Seattle is within grasp.
I really don't think Seattle's that great.
Exactly.
I think their offensive line has been a problem for years. It'll be interesting to see how they address it this offseason, but I don't think they have too much maneuverability when it comes to that.
And I don't think you can count the 49ers out either. They had all of those injuries on opening day. They have so many guys returning.
For me, it's between the 49ers and the Rams, which I'm leaning toward the Rams because that defense is elite, mm-hmm. and I think Stafford is an upgrade at quarterback.
Sure.
And they have pieces in the backfield. They have Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson, who are two young running backs who played great last year when they got the chance at running back. So to split carries between the both of them, that's a luxury. Mm-hmm. And then you have great wide receivers in Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Tyler Higbee was a good tight end option. You have Gerald Everett there as well. I think they have a plethora of options. Their offensive line is aging a little bit. They maybe need to shore that up a little bit. I don't know how much they can do. But still, I just think all around the Rams are the better team.
You make fair points. But I'd argue if you're going straight wide receiver core, I think it's probably – I mean, I think the Cardinals – yes, Larry Fitzgerald is old, but DeAndre Hopkins is obviously the number one guy at wide receiver out of that conference – or out of that division more, rather. Larry Fitzgerald is old but can still go get his in his own right, and I think a lot of people sleep on Christian Kirk, who's been that speedy guy for them as Tyler Lockett type deal from – as Seattle uses Tyler Lockett. Christian Kirk is kind of that speedy guy who's been there for Arizona as well.
My thing is that he's a Tyler Lockett – prior to what we saw from Tyler Lockett this year.
I can agree
with that. Where he has a breakout game for like a two-game stretch, And then from there, he's just, you know, two catches, 16 yards, something like that.
I drafted him on my fantasy team, and he was a solid pickup late in the draft, but he only had two or three games of above 15 points. Mm-hmm. It was not a ton of pure fantasy points. But I think that's the closest division out of all. Because I think if you're looking in the NFC, I think that's the tightest division. And I also think that the tightest division in the AFC is probably the North with Joe Burrow returning as well. What a quick break, though. Birthday's next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Time for the birthday game. Alex is hosting, me, Folky, Tucker, going at it today. Alex, how's the birthday list looking today?
Stacked.
Really? Stacked.
I got plenty of names to go to if we need extras, if we're running long on time, but if we're running short, we won't get all of them.
Sounds good.
To start it off, we're going to go with an author born March 2nd today. 1904, in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Mark Twain.
Nope.
Ernest Hemingway.
Nope.
Dr. Seuss.
Correct.
I figured that, I mean...
Sorry, I thought we were talking real authors.
He's been in the news a little bit, so I figured it might be that.
I thought he was just getting canceled. I didn't...
No, he is.
Oh, is...
Well, like, wait, he is getting canceled.
On your birthday?
On his birthday.
What did he do?
Damn, his birthday.
A couple days ago. Some imagery in his old books they decided to... not published six of his books.
I don't want to get into why Dr. Seuss is being canceled, but I don't know, Folky. Google it on your own time.
It's
cool.
Come on, man.
So
it's company time.
Next birthday, he was born on this day.
Your internet access.
In 1962 in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. He is a rock singer. He's 59 years old today.
1962.
Steven Tyler.
Nope. I can't say the band he was involved in because that would give it away.
Steve Perry.
He's a singer-songwriter, musician, and actor. He was inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2009. Among his most popular hits are...
Tom Petty.
Living on a Prayer.
Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi.
Tucker got it first.
I'll give it to him.
When I was growing up, that was my first introduction to rock, was Bon Jovi. My aunt has the Bon Jovi albums, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a bad way to get in.
Sticking with music, country singer. He was born on this day in 1990 in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's 31 years old.
Darius Rucker.
No, he's from South Carolina.
Nope. He's
Did you not say? Where did you say?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay. I heard... Okay.
You heard Carolina.
I heard Carolina. Got excited. Took a shot. Yeah.
The website calls him an up-and-coming country singer. However, I think he's pretty well established now.
He's come. He's here.
Brantley Gilbert.
Nope. He's based in Nashville. He started covering country songs and posting them to YouTube.
Cole Swindell?
Nope. Yes. Luke Combs, is that what you said?
No, you could have just said Charlie Kohler's twin. He looks exactly like Charlie Collier of the Blitz. Just a large country man.
Yeah, a little bit. I could see it.
He does not look like Charlie.
Yeah, not really.
It's me.
Charlie.
I didn't want to disagree with you, but I do disagree. last music one we got.
I'm glad you didn't want to disagree with me, at least.
I'm
sorry, you have to.
I did. I wanted to.
Pop singer.
Ooh, I can't wait to disagree with Will.
Born on this day in 1977 in Whitestone, England. 44 years old today.
Madonna.
He was the founder of the pop rock band Coldplay.
Oh, who's Coldplay's lead singer? Yeah, you know.
They released their hit debut album, Parachutes, in 2000.
Not
the band
Coldplay
has
guy.
Won a total of 8 Grammys.
What's his initials?
It's a good band, but I'm not going to
get it. CM.
Punk. CM Punk. Thank you.
Chris Metzer.
Charlie.
Got the first name right.
Chris Martin.
Correct.
Really?
Good pull, yep. Folky. Nice. Good pull, Folky. I'm not a big Coldplay guy.
All right. Movie actor here. One of my favorite movie actors.
That's annoying.
Born March 2nd, 1968.
Joe Pesci.
No, we already did Joe Pesci.
That is right. Okay, Robert De Niro.
He was born in Chester, England. 53 years old today.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta is not
James
English.
Bond.
Who cares?
Oh, Daniel Craig.
I think Will got that first.
What?
He gave you the tie earlier.
What?
He gave you the tie earlier.
What?
He gave you a tie earlier.
He gave you one of the ties earlier.
Volky, was
I said it way before.
He gave you one of the ties earlier.
Okay, was I wrong on that?
I said that one first, and I said this one first.
Okay.
He gave you one of the ties earlier.
This is an atrocity.
Will's point.
Wow. Okay, whatever. I said that clearly first, but we'll move on.
Football player, born on this day in 1982 in Lima, Ohio.
Shout out. Where's Lima?
39 years old today. He's still in the NFL. He's a quarterback.
39?
Tom Brady.
McCown.
Drew Brees.
Ryan Tannehill.
Ron Fitzpatrick.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Folky.
I did not say Ben Roth was very, very smooth.
I didn't say it very smooth that time either.
I said Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Middlefinger Roethlisberger.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah.
Football player. My introduction to college football right here with this guy.
Kenny Britt.
Born March 2nd, 1985 in Spring Valley, California. He's 36 years old today. Running back.
Ray Rice.
Marshawn Lynch.
Running back who won the Heisman Trophy in 2005.
Reggie Bush.
Correct.
It's a good pull. Couldn't get the name out.
I just guessed.
Hold on. I'm going to correct you. He didn't win the Heisman.
Yes,
he was later forced to forfeit. I was going to get to that.
He's still a Heisman.
Poor phrasing.
He still won.
I'll
put an asterisk next to that point.
No.
He still won the Heisman.
All right. Rapper. Part of the Wu-Tang Clan. Born today.
GZA.
Okay. Then we'll just move on from that. It's Method Man.
Oh, okay. I would have gotten that. He's King of Queens.
Oh, well.
That's the most famous member of any of them. You should have done that one.
Quarterback.
Tucker.
Born today, March 2nd, 1998.
You say quarterback?
In Hawaii.
Marcus Mariota.
23 years old.
Did you say quarterback?
Yes.
Okay.
Jordan Ta'amu.
Jordan Love.
University of Alabama.
Tua Tagovailoa. I started it, but yeah. I don't know if I finished it.
I'll give it to Tucker there.
Tua Tagovailoa. And I know for sure I said the
football
last
player. Born today in 1990 in Vicksburg, Mississippi.
He did.
31 years old today. A cornerback. He has played for the New England Patriots.
Darrell Reeves.
And
Reeves.
Tennessee Titans in his career.
Malcolm Butler.
Correct.
Cripple.
Yeah.
Cripple.
Really? Yeah. He looked at me and he said, really?
All right. Last one right here.
Oh, he's killing it today.
Movie actress. She was born today in 1981 in Los Angeles, California. She's 40 years old. She's the daughter of a famous director, which I believe we did a few days ago. I don't know if it was in trivia or if it was birthdays, but she landed her first major film role in the 2004 M. Night Shyamalan feature, The Village. She received a Golden Globe Award nomination for her performance in the TV movie, As You Like It. She also starred in the 2015 blockbuster, Jurassic World, and the 2016 Disney film, Pete's Dragons.
Is it the redhead girl?
She played Gwen Stacy in the 2007 film, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, I know exactly who it is, but I don't know who it is.
She played a prominent role opposite Emma Stone in the critically acclaimed 2011 film, The Help. B.D.H.
I got nothing.
Her father is Ron Howard.
Brenda Howard. Brianne Howard.
Brittany Elizabeth Howard.
B.D.H.
Oh, D.
Yeah.
We got to get the middle name,
Daphne?
Too.
I mean, that's what she's known for.
Bernadette Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
Okay, no chance. Oh. Never know.
Was she in the Tobey Maguire ones?
Yeah,
she was in the final one.
I knew who it was. Ron Howard's kid. That's weird. Anyways.
She is redhead.
His birthday was yesterday, by the way, so we did do it. I was thinking back to Milos Forman or the other ones I did. It doesn't matter. Good show. Solid show. We'll see you tomorrow. That's all I got. You got anything?
I love you guys. We love you guys.
That's what I thought.
Let's get out of here.